He's back. You guys had such a great response to the last time we had Scott Winthrop on the show that, of course, we had to bring him back. And on this episode, we talk about, well, just a little bit of everything, actually. Secrets of Staffing Success is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. Want to stand out, stay top of mind, and sell more? At Haley Marketing, our philosophy is simple: to make great marketing more affordable. Whether you're looking to drive sales leads or attract more qualified candidates, we make it easy for you to stand out in a saturated market. To learn more, visit HaleyMarketing.com.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski, Director of Content Marketing with 15 years experience in marketing for the staffing industry. You can follow the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and the podcast app on your Apple device. And now, here's Todd.
Well, it is a balmy 1 degree with a negative 23 wind chill outside of the Secrets of Staffing Success studios, but that doesn't stop us from talking with some of the most innovative thinkers in the staffing and recruiting industry, and our guest this week certainly fits that bill. He's a strategist, keynote speaker, and author who is celebrating his 20th year servicing the staffing industry. Please welcome back to the show, Scott Winthrop. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Todd, I'm shivering.
Don't.
I did 1 degree. I mean, just the mental image of that, because uh-huh. That's how I have. Uh-huh. God bless all of you who are able to handle that, because that's not me.
You've got that thin Florida skin now, Scott, right?
Yeah, that's an understatement. Yeah. It gets in the 50s here, and I'm putting a sweater on.
Uh-huh.
Well,
it's supposed to be 50 here in a couple days, so now we're going to be contending with flooding from 2 feet of snow, so that'll be fun. It's always an adventure
here. But everybody's going to be wearing shorts.
So exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be bailing my basement out in shorts, no problem. All right, well, when I had David Searns, our president, on the show at the end of 2018, I asked him what the headline in staffing in 2018 was. And if I asked you to put on your soothsayer hat and look to the end of 2019, what do you think the headline will wind up being for this year?
So let me get my hat. For those who are old enough, I think it's Karnak.
Karnak. Yep.
And I've got a very similar hat. So now that the hat's on, as I look to the end of December, I see big, bold fonts and two words. And they're not surprising words given where we are. Hmm. Those words are talent wins.
Hmm.
Now, the story below, Todd, I think it has three parts to it. Mm. So part one is that firms that have the talent that clients need when they need it win. Mm. This has been a persistent pattern. I've often noticed that trends come and go, but patterns persist. Mm. And a pattern year over year for decades through the past three recessions has been a pattern about talent. Firms with the talent the customers need when they need it, the kind of quality, the kind of people, have always done well regardless of the economy. And so you look at those last three recessions, and there are firms that either stayed the same or they actually grew because they had enough quality talent. And yeah, there was more talent than there were jobs, but we're talking quality talent. So the first part of this story is about talent having the talent customers need. The second of the three parts is that firms that have quality internal talent instead of open seats win bigger. Hmm. And this is the one that's always baffled me is, staffing and recruitment firms often are worst at filling their own jobs.
Yep.
Staffing and recruitment firms have some of the longest time to fill. Mm-hmm. If staffing and recruitment firms just did for themselves what they do for their customers, it should be an industry standard that there's a zero time to fill mm-hmm. in staffing firms. And there are firms who are doing this. And because of this, those seats stay filled and they have the economic engine of those seats generating revenue. So those firms win bigger. So that's part two. Part three is that firms that develop their talent inside and out win biggest. So yes, you know, we want to develop sales and recruiting talent. We want to develop our leaders, but we also need to upskill and reskill talent to have enough to send to our customers. Firms are becoming quite innovative in developing their temp and consulting talent. Firms are going as far as helping their customers develop talent. So look at the impact there. It's no surprise that those firms win biggest. So headline, talent wins. Like I said, three parts. You got to have what customers need when they need it. You've got to have your seats filled, and you've got to develop your talent inside and out. And if you do that, you're going to be living that headline.
I want to go back to part two that you said there. It, you know, since we've been doing this podcast in 2017, it's, you know, talent's been the big issue here. Have you heard, with all the staffing firms that you talk to, have you heard of any increases in recruiter turnover as a result that they're finding the job just too difficult and they're, you know, jumping ship?
I've heard and seen people bailing from our business, and they're mentioning the talent shortage in their exit interviews as a factor. However, this is more of a symptom rather than the real problem. It's a symptom of a bad hire. Often when I do audits of these situations, I'm finding the people who bail when the going gets tough in staffing, they've bailed in the past. And this is part of a pattern of behavior. Notice patterns persist again. So one of the things that leaders can do is we can start heading this off at the pass before it happens. I encourage all of the leaders listening to this to look for people who've had a proven track record of sticking it out when things get tough. And I'm talking personal and professional. Now, we can't ask specific questions that are inflammatory or prejudicial, but we can ask general questions about personal and professional situations. You know, tell me about a time where things got tough and how'd you handle it? Now, whether the person talks about something at work or something personal, that's completely up to them. And then if we ask for another example and then another, if we validate some of that in our reference checking, if we find people who have a pattern of persistence, even when things get rough, they're probably not going to be these folks who've been bailing from the business when things have gotten rough when it comes to the talent shortage.
And, you know, you also mentioned too, I think part three there about the zero time to hire when you're talking about the internal staff, but I want to look at it from, you know, the external client's point of view here. There's a few core disciplines that you talk about when you talk about, you know, that zero time to hire, but with unemployment so low, is zero time to hire really possible right now? And if so, you know, how do we make that happen?
So it is not only possible, but it's an absolute must if you're going to compete. And let's make it about those internal roles. I like that we're narrowing that in, and we can apply this same idea externally. So just keep that in mind as I talk about internal. So here's what I want everybody to do for a minute is I'm going to have you take your hands and do some measurements. So just take your hands and stretch them as wide as you can get them and, you know, look between your two hands. And that's all of the open jobs. Okay. That's all the open jobs. Now take and narrow your hands so they're about shoulder width. And that's the available talent to fill all of the open jobs, including staffing and recruitment jobs. Now, take your hands and do one more thing and put them about an inch apart. And we could actually do smaller, but for illustration, this will make the point. Those are your jobs. Now, if you look at that, your jobs, the amount of jobs you have to fill in your firm is smaller than that inch apart, the width of your shoulders. There are more talent than you, the talented people than you have to hire. This obsession about the skills shortage is really a bad idea. And it's because no staffing firm out there is trying to fill all of the open sales and recruiting and leadership jobs out there. They're just trying to fill their own. So within that context, there are actually more people than any one of you listening to this can hire. And it's the firm. This is often where I start with leaders. We change mindset around this. We look at the fact that there are more people than you could actually hire, than you would ever want to hire. And the firms who take this approach, then they cultivate people before jobs open up. And this is where, you know, they are a bit slow to hire, but they're fast to fill. They're slow to hire in that they're cultivating. They take their time to cultivate people before seats open up. But when the jobs open up, they're fast to fill those jobs because they've lined up the people before they need them.
I like that mentality. On the other side of things, though, are staffing firms missing the mark by not selling more actively in this type of a market? Because without attractive job openings, you know, you need to place good candidates immediately before they decide to go somewhere else.
So I've been talking. Yes, we have to keep selling. ABS, always be selling. No, that's not the ABC that's been around for a long time, but ABS, always be selling. When you're not selling, it almost always catches up with you. And I say almost always because there's the rare instance, and I don't know that anybody really should be rolling the dice that they're one of those rare exceptions. It's a day coming in the future when that big customer goes away, or those five people who always buy stop buying. And I believe that one of the biggest mistakes that I'm watching firms make is they're way too focused on filling orders. They have so many orders. They're so focused on filling them. We elevate customers to this premium status because they pay the money. Now, yes, customers are important, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, the candidates are just a little bit more important. And that's because there aren't enough of them to go around, technically speaking, as we already talked about. So, you know, we always have to be sourcing talent. So instead of focusing on filling orders, we should be focused on selling talent, pitching talent, talent strategy. So what that means is, yes, we're going to take that talent and we're going to fill orders, but we're going to take that talent to the marketplace. Because here's a mantra that I think I said the last time you and I were together and I've been saying for a long time. And it's this. It's another one of those patterns. When you have an order, you will fill it some of the time. There is no 100%. There are going to be times that one of your competitors fills that order. There's going to be times where the customer takes away the order. They decide not to fill it. There are going to be times where you just can't find somebody because the skill set's unrealistic. You're not going to fill every order. So you have orders, you're not always going to fill them. But if you have a talented person, you will always, always, always find them a job if you do the right things. You will always find them a job. There's always somebody, regardless of economic conditions, who needs that talented person. And why? Because there aren't enough of those high quality people. That's where the real shortage is, Todd, is there are actually more jobs than qualified people to fill them. Now, yes, you're not trying to fill all of those jobs as we talked about, but this is why a talent strategy versus an order filling strategy is important. And this is why we must always be selling. If we are constantly cultivating talent, selling that talent, this is what creates sustainability. This is what creates growth. This is what creates higher margins across the board, all over the world.
Well, one of the big stories from 2018 and I guess carried over to 2019 was Indeed Mageddon, as we called it here at Haley Marketing Group. And, you know, even with all the warnings, there were still some staffing firms that I think were just sitting there going, oh, it's not really going to happen. We don't have to worry. They're not really going to take our jobs away. But it did. In January, it did. So for those who procrastinated, what can they do now to help fill that Indeed void?
So you know that I have been a fan of Haley, and David and I have known each other for a long time. You and I have known each other for a while. You know, in all the stuff you guys have created, I think Indeed Mageddon is probably one of the most catchy. So you know, that caught my attention. And Indeed Mageddon, we should have like really cool theme music.
I know. Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. Indeed Mageddon is a perfect example of over-reliance. because that's the reality. Yeah. Indeed is but one resource. And, you know, here's the thing that some people don't know. Indeed started pulling the plug on people before they made the announcement. Mm-hmm. People started noticing midway through last year, their jobs weren't showing up like they used to. Then it went full stream as of the end of last year, beginning of this year. Firms, you know, while it would have been better to address this sooner, firms can still unleash a force greater than Indeed. This is where we should have the Star Wars music playing and Luke Skywalker talking. There is a force much greater than any one resource, including Indeed. Mm. And it's called candidate gravity. Now, all of you already have this. Candidate gravity is the pull that your firm has on talent. And this firm may be weak, drawing in an insufficient supply of talent. It could be inconsistent, coming in ebbs and flows, or it could be strong, providing a very consistent stream of quality people. The bad news is, as I've measured this over the years, about 10% of firms across the globe consistently, without fail, maintain strong candidate gravity. And they're able to do this because they maximize all of the 8 talent streams that I know you and I talked about in our last time together. Rather than go into a ton of detail on that, what I will suggest, I'll make sure for your show notes, I provide to you a link. I wrote a very specific post on this. It was called "Your Jobs on Indeed Are About to Disappear. Here's What You Can Do About It." Yeah. And in the post, I talked about people who were not at all worried about this because they treated Indeed as what it is, but one resource. And in that article, you'll read about candidate gravity. You'll read about the 8 talent streams. And most importantly, I close that article out with 3 steps that you can take to make Indeed something that's in your rearview mirror. Yes, it's something that you may want to engage with in their new model, but it's but one resource, and you'll find that these other talent streams will more than make up for the shortfalls in talent that you're no longer getting from Indeed.
Mm. I definitely want to come back to those 8 talent streams, because I think that's, you know, such an important point that you always make in a lot of the content that you put out there. But when we talk about resources, and you mentioned, you know, putting all your eggs in one basket, whether that be one client or one resource like Indeed, is there something that you see staffing firms investing a lot of their resources in that they really shouldn't be right now?
Well, there's more than something. There's some things, but let's actually put that in one category. Too many staffing firms are investing time and money in the latest, greatest tech, because that's what all the cool kids in staffing firms are doing these days. Now, don't get me wrong. I am a huge tech fan. I serve some of the tech companies around the globe that are serving staffing and recruitment firms. And we're expanding that part of my practice because they're such an important part. So I'm an advocate. I believe in technology. And the problem I've seen is something I've called technological codependence. Some of you are familiar with codependency. You've been to therapists for it. Well, today, you're a therapist for when it comes to technological codependency. It is an unhealthy reliance on technology. You know, if you think about it, investing in too much of anything, technology, too much time focusing on fixing your process versus working your process, too much of anything is unhealthy. Mm. Yes, tech is important, but only when it's part of a balanced diet, so to speak, of tools and processes that get the work done. So, you know, as people know, I love to give solutions. So let's talk about how you can break the cycle of technological codependence. And I'm going to give everybody some rules here, because, you know, I think the knee-jerk reaction, and heck, I do it too because I love tech, is, you know, the newest cool thing comes out, it's like, ooh, I want that. It's shiny. I want everybody to start pausing a little bit more. And I want you to ask some questions amongst your leadership team and key staff who you use as part of the advisory process. And as you look at either adding what the cool kids are doing or replacing something you have, ask these questions. So the first thing is, does the tech actually reduce effort? And if so, is it by a little or is it a lot? Because if it's just a little, and that's what some tech does, unfortunately, for some people in their circumstances, you got to ask yourself, is it really worth it? Now, if you're still looking at the tech after that question, then you ask this question. Is it easy to use? This is where tech failings are really coming into the spotlight. And it's not always the case, but newer tech, often the learning curve is not great. It's long. Yeah. So you have to ask yourself more questions about easy to use. If it's not, would additional training help? Would that take a lot of time? And if training won't help, is it prudent to have this as part of your process? Now, if you're still considering that new cool thing or replacing something you have, ask this last one. And it's really important to take some time on this one. And that is, does the tech improve results? If so, by how much? And is that enough to justify its use? Because any change, whether it's technology, whether it's investing in process improvement, sometimes the amount of effort and time and money it takes is not worth the payoff because the payoff is so small. So, you know, this therapeutic condition we're talking about, Todd, technological codependence, we can break the cycle. And one of my favorite sayings, don't know where it originally came from, is this. It's, we're not responsible for our first thought, but we are responsible for our next action. You know, often like we get, you know, seduced by the shiny thing. Yeah. I still do. That doesn't mean I have to follow that first thought. I'm not responsible for it. It's happening before I realize it. I got to take the next right action. And that is to ask questions like I gave everybody today to make sure I don't engage in technological codependency.
Yeah, it's... I love that point because I think so many times we are fascinated by that new shiny thing. But like you said, the learning curve sometimes and how quickly does this really get it done? You know, it's why I still use a pen and paper so much of the time because my pen and paper is always right there and I can write right away. I don't have to open up a Word document. I don't have to open up an app on my phone.
How old school are you, Todd?
Yeah. So I'm still very, very old school in a lot of ways. And I know a lot of people who know me are probably chuckling right now. I think it's just sometimes we get wrapped up in that bright, shiny new object when, hey, maybe just the way we've been doing it still is the most efficient way to do it. You know, I don't think we always have to embrace the brand new thing every time. So I really like that point. I want to go back to that 8 talent streams, because I know that's a big part of what you preach. And, you know, if any of our listeners out there, just Google Scott Wintrip 8 talent streams and you'll find a lot of content out there. But, you know, some people may look at that and say, well, 8's a lot right now. And I'm just a single recruiter. Or I'm just a, you know, mom and pop staffing firm. And that seems like a lot to take on. So are there one or two areas of those talent streams that you see working really well right now that maybe people should be focusing more on?
Oh, you're asking me the hard question because if I just do one or two or three, the risk is that people will only use those one or two or three. So I promise you I'm going to answer your question, but let me go to the thing you said first because it's very important. It seems like a lot. I thought so too. You know, I didn't invent these talent streams. They were there before I came along. They've morphed and changed and, you know, added and deleted over the years. My job was a job of analysis. And I started doing this analysis almost 20 years ago when we started the practice. And I wanted to understand why is it that some firms have more talent than others? And I discovered these 8 streams. And what's unique about these streams is no single stream can access all available talent. Each stream gives you access to unique people. So that was interesting. But what was even more interesting is firms that use all 8 streams spend less time recruiting than those who leverage just 2 or 3.
Interesting.
And it's the whole idea of more is less. Mm. We often hear less is more, but in this case, more is less. When you tap into all 8 streams, it takes you less time to recruit because you're, you know, fishing in a big lake instead of a small pond. So yes, anybody who's looking at that list that's on my website about the 8 streams, your first reaction may be that's a lot. Well, you don't start fishing in all of them today if you're not doing that. Hmm. You start by, you know, leveraging each one and then adding the next and adding the next. And before you know it, when you have all 8 as part of your routine, you're going to be doing really well in a lot less time. Hmm. Now, one of the comments you made was, I'm just a mom and pop or I'm a small firm. Hmm. There is an exception to the 8 streams rule that you must use all 8. Small firms, boutique firms, single desk, they can get away with 5 or 6. Hmm. And to go to your original question now, what are the 3 that are working especially well? Well, referrals has to be at the top of the list. Referrals are at an all-time low because people have relied too much on other things, which means there's an all-time for people who are using it and the talent that they can attract. Another one that is doing really well, and I talked about it before when I talked about that headline, the talent wins, is, you know, the train of external talent, the upskilling and reskilling of talent. In my streams, I call them talent manufacturing. You can create your own talent quite efficiently, quite effectively. More and more firms are doing it. And then the last one, and this one is really surprising to many people, is the talent scout stream. And this is your competitors. This is the other firms out there. Yeah. There's kind of a rule of thumb right now is if you partner with 7 or 8 other firms or people, including a few competitors, the talent trading that goes on between those firms is creating many hires on a yearly basis. And there's even, you know, some really fearsome competitors. I'm thinking of Chicago now, one, because it's so damn cold there. But number 2, there's a group, there's a cadre of I've introduced to one another. They do something really cool. When one of them finds a really great candidate that they can't, one of their competitors, because their idea is they want to keep that person amongst them and keep them working. So whoever the original person is, they'll eventually get that talented person back. But they understand that these rich resources, these people are limited in supply. So they're even willing to share them with their competitors to keep them in the family, the adopted family, so to speak.
Yeah, I love that idea of the candidate sharing. And I think too many times we get wrapped up in, you know, the competition and well, but you know what? If you're providing a service, people are going to remember that. If you say, hey, listen, I don't have anything for you, but I know somebody who does, they're going to remember that. And down the road, they may come back to you because you had them, you know, as the priority. The candidate was the priority there. And I really like that suggestion. You know, since the beginning of time, I think there has been this love-hate relationship between HR and staffing. And I'm wondering, you know, what can staffing firms do to try and make that more of a love-love relationship instead of the love-hate relationship?
The love-love relationship, yeah.
Am I asking too much there?
No. You know, I call it the hateful love of staffing.
Okay, that's a good way to phrase it, too.
Yeah, I made a choice. It was about 15 years ago and started ramping it up a little bit after to serve the corporate side. Somebody got in my face one time about that when they heard, like, you're giving away our secret. No, I'm teaching them how to work better with staffing. Mm-hmm. That part of the problem is too many buyers don't know how to effectively work staffing firms. And so part of the work that I do is I help both parties work better with one another. I think part of the problem, Todd, well, let me ask you a question. I'm curious about something. Are you a do-it-yourselfer where you go to Lowe's or Home Depot or something like that and you fix your own stuff at home?
Yeah, definitely.
See, this is part of the problem in hiring. Because there's a lot of do-it-yourself hiring going on out there. Yeah. And you know, it's actually fairly simple to do these days. I won't say easy because it's not easy. That's been proven, but it's fairly simple to do. You know, the people who are out there hiring, whether they're HR, hiring managers, or a combination of the two, have access to many, if not all, of the same tools as people in staffing. And so the begrudgery that I find that happens on the corporate side of things is that, you know, folks in HR or folks who are hiring managers have this mindset, well, I can do it myself. And so they attempt to do it themselves. All too often they fail in doing it themselves. And now they're pissed off, to be blunt. And now they have to go get an expert. And they're not real happy about it because it's going to cost them more money while they've already spent money and wasted time. So we need to understand coming into this that there's that do-it-yourself mentality. So what does this mean for staffing firms? This really means you have to be mindful of your impact. You know, yes, they may have to come to you, but you can make that not just palatable, you can make it wonderful by increasing your impact in five areas. I've identified five areas where staffing firms have impact and can increase their impact. And I'll just name them quickly, and people, again, can search my site. I've written on this pretty often. So impact area number one is flexibility. All of you should be asking yourself the question, how can you deliver even more flexible solutions that solve more of your customers' problems? You know, for some people out there, they don't even know what their customers' problems are beyond filling a job. They have no idea what the customer's business objectives are.
Yep.
You understand those things. You can add levels of flexibility that increase your impact and make you more of a partner than just a provider. Impact area number two is accuracy. It's an area where the staffing industry has gotten C's and B's of people who rate them for a long time. So, you know, how can you accurately, or how accurately do you match jobs and candidates? And here's the challenge. What can you do to achieve near perfection on that? I see firms who have done this. They've worked so hard to achieve near perfection, and doggone it, they're like 98, 99% of the time. You think the buyers who go to them are doing it begrudgingly? Oh, no. They all often say, I should have come to you from the start versus doing it myself. So flexibility, accuracy, impact area number three is quality. Ask yourselves, where is our quality or talent or service inconsistent? And how can you leverage your strengths to improve your quality across all areas? Now, that's the key. All firms have strengths, and when they use their strengths to overcome areas of inconsistency, quality improves. So we got flexibility, accuracy, quality, and now value. And you ask yourself, what do your customers value most? And don't just ask yourself, ask your customers. And how can you learn from what they value to deliver more of that? Some firms are really surprised. Some leaders are amazed that sometimes it's simple things like responsiveness. You're the most responsive firm. It takes other people hours to get back to us. You've given us access by text. We love that. It's that simple thing, the little things that make a big difference. Now, the last one, and this is my biggie, is immediacy. It is something, to be blunt, that the staffing industry kind of stinks at way too often. Customers typically need somebody yesterday. How can you deliver more of that talent today? Well, you implement the stuff we're talking about here. Customers typically want somebody right when they want them, or they wanted them yesterday. And if you don't have it, guess what? They're calling somebody else to hedge their bet. So those areas, Todd, you know, if we increase flexibility, accuracy, quality, value, and immediacy, you know, even the do-it-yourselfers, they're pretty darn happy that they have us to rely on when they can't do it themselves.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, let me put it this way. The reason I love having you on is because you're very blunt, and I like that. And I'm the same way. You're not afraid to tell this industry what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. And that's one of the reasons we've had you on now twice. And I asked on LinkedIn, you know, if anybody had any questions, and somebody wrote in, and I love the way they phrased this question. It was, what is the most common or most dangerous blind spot among staffing and recruiting firms?
Ooh, that is good.
Yeah.
Again, this is one of those ones where I could mention a few things. I'm going to mention one that is showing up so much in my work that I want to equip people to do my work themselves. So our blind spot, one of the biggest, are our best practices. And if I, you know, if I were in charge of everything, I would make it mandatory that firms stop using that term, best practice. Because too many business practices are being called a best practice, and they're really not. So if you think about it, Todd, when you call something the best, it's assumed there's nothing better. And I even see this at events and conferences, and this is no slight to conference organizers. This is just a habit. So if you go to a conference and there's a speaker on stage or there are panelists, it is common, almost uncommon if it doesn't happen, that they're going to refer to something as a best practice. And because they're on the stage, there's an assumption that because they've been given a stage, they're right. And so what happens is people go and they try to implement that, and it doesn't work. Now, were these people lying? No. In fact, you know, for them, this may be a best practice, but this is not a one-size-fits-all industry. And there are the occasions where, unless you ask, the person who's speaking has never tried this themselves, but they heard it's the best practice, so they pass it along. Yeah. So we've got to stop naming things the best that are not. We've got to get rid of labels. And look, does this slip from my lips every now and then? Yeah, it does.
Yep.
You know, it happens, and then I try and correct it. All of us need to really look at things that we're calling the best. And, you know, like I said before, I spent a lot of time helping leaders change these supposed best practices. So the way everybody can start to deal with this is let's challenge the status quo. And as everybody knows, I love questions. This starts with our questions. Let me give you the questions I ask when I hear somebody utter the words best practice. Start with why. Why is this the best? Now, that one stumps a lot of people right there. They can't articulate it. Now, if they have some good answers to that, we go to the next one. What specific results has it achieved? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we actually find out, hey, it's not the best. We're doing it because this is how it's always been done. Another thing to look at, how hard is it to learn or implement? There are some things that really do produce decent or even good results, but my God, the labor effort it takes to implement them or learn them, there's a better way. And then let's assume whatever the practice is, it passes all of those questions. It's all good. Here's the magic question. When something is producing a positive result, how can we improve that result? And you talked about at the beginning of your program that you invite innovators on. One of the reasons I am an innovator is I challenge the status quo, even the good stuff.
Yeah.
I often joke and say, my job is to make good gooder. And my wife, the teacher, hates when I say that. When you look at a true best practice that's producing a positive result, that's easy to learn, it's not a challenge to implement, when you take that and make that better, that's an innovative practice. That is what's making good firms great, great firms fantastic. And those are the firms that don't have competitors because they're so far back in their rearview mirror, they can't even see them. So I challenge everybody here, you know, you use the words best practice, whatever. The words don't matter, but what you do with it does. Challenge the status quo. What got you here won't get you there. We've heard those words before. And it's true. You know, the world is evolving faster than the staffing industry is evolving with it. And challenging this idea of best practices is a very good way to catch up.
Yeah. I will raise my hand on behalf of Haley Marketing and say that, yes, we do fall victim to the phrase best practices a lot. However, I will say that one of our core values is how to make good great. So we are following up on it at least. Before we let you go, last question here, and I know it's something that we touched on a little bit earlier, but what technology trends do you think will be the biggest in 2019? Are we still riding that AI VR thing, or is there going to be something else coming up?
All of this is part of a bigger movement that I've been talking about for some years now because I saw it coming, and I knew that it was going to increase in its momentum because it's where the world is going. You know, it's, look, people ask me how I do what I do at times, and I'll share one of my secrets. One of the ways that I spot patterns and I look at trends and I see what's coming is I just look at what other industries are doing that we're not doing yet. Mm. We tend to be somewhere between 3 to 5 years behind on certain things. Mm. It's one of the reasons why when it comes to tech, for example, I encourage people to go to events beyond staffing. Yes, go to your staffing events, go to some new staffing events. You know, it's prudent to do so, but look beyond staffing. One of my favorite events to go to are sales conferences. Three of them that I think are great where you can borrow ideas are Inbound, Rainmaker, and Outbound. I've spoken at all three on hiring and on recruiting. And when you walk around and you see what they're doing with technology and what's happening within technology itself, you see that they're on the cutting edge of stuff that we're not quite there yet. So one of the things that the rest of industry, one of the trends that includes AI, that includes automation, is this trend towards lean recruiting. And that's the thing I've been talking about for a number of years. I thought it was so important I dedicated an entire chapter of my book, High Velocity Hiring, to it. The gist of lean recruiting is the practice of using automation to make hiring more efficient. AI is a great example. The principles of lean recruiting, they actually set the standard for what automation should do for you. And these principles actually guide you in making really informed decisions. So I talked about them in those questions, you know, with the technological codependence, but let me frame them now in the principles. Here are the three principles that are really going to drive things moving forward. And I'm going to put this in the category of good technology that's going to serve people well. So the first principle of lean recruiting is automation must reduce effort. The second is that automation must improve results. And the third is very important, is it must be easy to sustain and continue to use. So it must improve results. It must be easy to implement and use. It must be reduce effort. Any technology that does not pass that will not be around very long. And again, you look at AI, some of the AI that is succeeding and moving forward and being adopted quickly is proving to do all three of those things. The technology, the automation, the AI that's not, we don't even speak of it anymore because it didn't pass the muster. So lean recruiting has other implications. I'll close with this on this question, Todd, is you can make your process lean without technology. You know, ask yourself, how can we reduce effort? How can we make things easier to do? How can we improve results? This isn't just about technology. Technology really is about process. Technology serves the process when it's done right. And when we can be lean in everything we do and choose technology that helps us do that, that's a great thing to make happen in a staffing firm.
Absolutely. Well, Scott, I already kissed up to you earlier in the show and told you why I loved you as a guest. But, you know, folks, there's a reason why he had the record for the most listens of the year and a half that we've been doing this podcast now, because he knows what he's talking about. He's lived it for 20 years now. Scott, if you don't mind just letting people know, you know, where they can find out more about you, where they can find your great content and your books and everything.
Sure. So let me do that in a moment. Let me say first, thank you, Todd.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to this. Shortly after we did the last one, we knew it went well and people were responding. We talked about doing this next one. So I've been looking forward to this. This is a special year, as you said. It's been 20 years. And I am really blessed to do something I love. My passion probably shows up just ever so slightly. I want to thank everybody who listened last time. For all those listens, and I'm honored that you found it beneficial and hope this is beneficial as well. This is a wonderful industry. I've made this acknowledgement often. Those of you listening, you impact the most important part of every organization, their people, and you certainly impact one of the most important parts of people's lives, their careers. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that hiring and staffing and recruiting is heroic. And so when you go to my site, I hope you'll check out this new thing I've launched. I call it the Heroes of Hiring. Part of the way I'm celebrating this 20th year serving the industry is I'm acknowledging all of the heroes that you may not have heard of. Well, not all of them, but as many as I can get in 52 weeks. So you go to my site, scottwintrip.com, you go under resources, you'll find a tab there for heroes. And meet some of the people you've not met. Some come from the staffing side, some come from technology, some come from HR. And they're wonderful people you can learn from who all want the same thing. They want the right people in the right seats right away. Check out my blog on that site. You can sign up for my newsletter. I feel, Todd, like, you know, I've been at this for a while. I have a responsibility to help this industry move forward. So like Haley, I'm creating a lot of content to help it do that. And I'm honored that people check it out. So go to scottwintrip.com. You'll find all those resources and more.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And we definitely feel the same here at Haley. And we think nothing but the best of you, Scott. And again, just thank you so much for all of your time and effort in helping out this industry and for being a two-time guest now on Secrets of Staffing Success.
Thanks. It's an honor, Todd.
Well, really, what else can I say again that's going to enhance what Scott already has said? The man has been around for a long time in this industry. He's seen it all. He's heard it all. If you want to check out more about Scott and read some of his really great content that he has on his website, it's scottwintrip.com. If you haven't already subscribed to this show, please do so at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. We are basically anywhere where you can find podcasts, you will find Secrets of Staffing Success. And of course, you can find us on Twitter at Staffing Podcast. We post all of our new episodes there, along with some of the other great content that our team here at Haley Marketing is putting out there. And speaking of that, make sure that you also are tuning in for Insights, which is our new podcast in the Secrets of Staffing Success family. If you're already subscribed to this podcast, there's no need to do anything else. Those guys, Matt and Brad, will be on the weeks that I'm not on. And so that we have something brand new coming to you each and every week from the fine people here at Haley Marketing Group. Until next time, thank you so much for listening to Secrets of Staffing Success.